I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So open your Bibles or open your devices to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to be looking at the first eight verses. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And before we go into God's Word, will you join me in a prayer of illumination? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for gathering us today to learn more about you through your word. Open our hearts and our minds to what you want us to learn and help us apply it to our lives as we strive every day to be more like you. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our passage today talks about remaining in Christ, and as you see with the title, it's Remain in Christ and Bear Much Fruit. And it's kind of an interesting question and an interesting thought in these times, in these COVID times, the times that we are looking to the light at the end of the tunnel, and yet that light seems to be getting so much further and further away. I've been talking to a colleague of mine two weeks ago, And we were talking about different kinds of feelings and emotions that we are going through as we are journeying through this COVID journey. And talking about, you know, some of us are not feeling any difference. Some of us are feeling overwhelmed. Some of us are feeling just busy, busy, busy. Some of us are lonely. Some of us are just feeling depressed and don't want to get up. And in that conversation, we talked about this phrase that has become more popular, it seems. At least I've heard it in different places. And it talks about a definition of a way that we can understand perhaps how we're feeling, and the word is called languishing. A definition for that word I'm getting from Adam Grant in the April 2021 New York Times article. And he writes, languishing is a sense of stagnation and emptiness. It feels as if you're muddling through your days, looking at your life through a foggy windshield. He continues to say that in psychology, we think about mental health on a spectrum from depression to flourishing. Flourishing is the peak of well-being. That's when we have a strong sense of meaning and mastery and mattering to others. Depression, on the other hand, is the valley of ill-being. That is when we feel despondent, drained, worthless. Languishing, he writes, is the neglected middle child of mental health. It's the void between depression and flourishing, the absence of well-being. He says, you don't have the symptoms of mental illness, but you're not the picture of mental health either. You're not functioning at full capacity. Languishing dulls our motivation, disrupts our ability to focus, and triples the odds that you'll cut back on work. It appears to be more common than major depression and is, in some ways, it may be a bigger risk factor than mental illness. I ask you, would that be an accurate way to describe how you're feeling? Are you finding yourself to be languishing, not quite flourishing, but also not quite at that point of depression? I need to ask you, as you're thinking about that, if this is a struggle for you, and a very serious struggle where you are leaning even towards the side of depression, please take some time, do some reading and examination, and please feel free and take the step, have the courage to reach out and get some help, and to have a counselor to be able to connect with to help you through and process these emotions. As we think about this phrase, languishing, I want to then now go to the other side of that. In my languishing, I want to flourish. I want to do well. I want to live to my utmost. And in our passage today, John in this gospel shares with us how we can flourish, how we can live life to its utmost, how we can live life in a way that is complete. And he says, and he encourages us to do that by remaining in him, to remain in Christ, to abide in him, to set up our home in him. And now as we look at this passage and a little few verses beyond and through the Gospel of John, I want to look at six different things that we hear and can learn about what it means to be remaining, abiding, setting up home in Christ. It begins right here in our passage where it talks about remain in me, verse 4, and as I remain in you. This requires a level of trust. It requires a level of us accepting the invitation. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we have, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In John chapter 6, verse 40, we see Jesus' words there, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at that last day. These are the words of invitation to abide in him, to remain in him, to put our trust in him. Now, when we think about that, I want you to think about that in two sides, because not only are we being invited to remain in him, but he also reaches out to remain in us. Verse 4 again, remain in me as I also remain in you. What grace! Look, he says, come to me and remain and abide and set your house up with me. But at the same time, he is reaching his hand out and he is inviting us and encouraging us to come. You know how that happens when somebody comes to your door. You don't just necessarily stand, well, in COVID times we do. We stand back and we say, let's keep our space. But oftentimes when somebody comes, we want to step halfway out the door. We extend our hand in greeting and we sort of encourage them into the door to join us. This is that kind of invitation that we have coming from Jesus as we come and enter into this space to remain in him. Now, that brings a question for me that I hope you may have as well. What does that mean to remain in him? What does that look like? Does it just mean that we simply stand there and say, I am remaining in Christ. Here I am. It's almost that simple. There are a few things that we need to do. And John, in his gospel, even shows us and tells us what that can look like when we see this word remain, this word abide, being used throughout the gospel of John. If you've got your Bibles open, turn back with me to John chapter 1, We're going to go to John chapter 1, verse 38. And this is, as you can tell, at the very beginning of the gospel. This is when John is preaching and teaching, that is the prophet John the Baptist. And we see in verse 35 of chapter 1, it says, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying? Where are you remaining? Where are you abiding?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, where he was remaining, and they spent the day with him. They remained with him, in conversation with him." So one of the first ways that we can remain in Christ is to hear the gospel, to hear the good news, to hear the word expressed, and to respond to that word by seeking to remain in Christ, that is, in conversation, also known as in prayer. To hear the word of God and to be in conversational prayer, to pray to him, to share with him, to hear from him. This is one of the ways that we can remain in Christ. A second way is when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when we do that, we celebrate communion. John chapter 6, verse 56. Listen to these words. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." When we partake in the bread and the juice or the wine of the Lord's Supper, we are remaining in him. We are setting up house in him. "Remain in me and I in them. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." Just by being a part of that meal, remembering, celebrating, we remain in him. The third way that we remain in him is shown to us in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. We read there, "To the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, 'You hold to my teaching. You are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' If you hold, if you remain, if you abide in my teaching, then you are really my disciples." This is the way that we also remain in him, by not only hearing, not only praying, but also by picking up on the learning and being with him in what we say and do. We are learning and growing in his word, in what he says. This happens through the preaching that takes place like this and on Sunday mornings. It happens through our family devotions, through small group discussions. It happens when we do our private devotions. We are reading and we are listening and we are paying attention to his teaching to us, and we are abiding and remaining. And the fourth way, the final way that we remain, that we abide in Christ, is when we obey his commands, when we live out the word, when we live out the gospel. Take a look in our text. We're back at John chapter 15, but if we go just beyond our reading there in the next section, we see what that looks like. John chapter 15, verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love." If you keep and abide and follow my teachings, you will remain in my love. That's the call. Pretty easy when you think about it, isn't it? All we need to do to remain in Christ is to respond to the gospel that is preached to us in prayer, to enter into prayer conversation with Jesus Christ, to participate in the Lord's Supper, to be nourished spiritually by Him, to enter into His Word, to obey that Word, and to live that Word. Four ways for us to remain. As easy peasy, you would think. All we have to do is do those things, and we remain in Christ. Now, what are the things that happen when we remain? Well, we remain in Him, and then we see some things that are flowing from Him to us. In your Bibles, go to verse 7. One of the first things that we see flowing, we say, if you remain in me, Christ says, and my words remain in you. So one of the first things that flow from the vine to the branch is the word of Christ. His words are the nourishment that come from the vine into our lives. The second thing we see in verse 9, which is beyond our text, but it's pretty close. And in verse 9, and it shows there, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. By remaining in Him, the love comes from us, right? Now, I should have read that. Now remain in my love. Remain in Him and the love of God, the love who sees us for who we are, as we who struggle in our sin, as we who miss the mark, as we who fall short, His love for us abounds even to the cross where He gave His life to pay the debt for our sin. His love, that love, flows into our lives. And we are loved by Christ just the way we are. Nothing to be changed. Unconditionally loved. And now we go just a little bit further for that third. In verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The third thing that flows from the vine into the branch is the joy of Christ. It is that which comes to us by simply remaining in Him. Three things coming to us, to nourish the branch that we are. The Word, His love, and the joy of Christ. What a wonderful gift that He gives to us. These all come when we abide, and that is all that we need to do. All we need to do is to abide in Him, to remain in Him, and we receive the Word of God, the love of Christ, and then also the joy. The next thing is that comes from verse 5. Take a look. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can bear nothing. You can do nothing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If we are not connected to the vine, we can do nothing spiritually or eternally significant. Those are words that are coming from John Piper. We can maybe do things that are worldly significant and look good, but we cannot do anything that is significant eternally when we are not connected to the vine. The next part, remaining, proves that whether we are attached to the vine and whether it is coursing through us. Verse 7, it says there, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. When we remain, when we are a part of the vine, we are nourished and we can accomplish so much. But in verse 6, it tells us when we're not. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. If we are not connected to the vine, we will wither and die, and we will be thrown into the fire. The nourishment comes when we're attached, when we are detached, when we are faking it, when we are not there, when the attachment hasn't been made, then we wither and we die. And as we see back in verse 2, the gardener cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and it's thrown into the fire. That brings us to number 5. that those branches who are connected are being cared for internally and externally. Internally, we are receiving the word, the love, and the joy. We are being nourished as we are attached to the vine. But we also have this external care. I was just referring to that in verse 2. The Father, who is the gardener, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. He cuts, he takes it away, he shapes the external parts of us so that we can be more Christ-like and bear fruit, even as we are being nourished as we remain in Christ. This is not an easy transition. It is never easy to be cut back, but thanks be to God, we can look back and see those pruning moments in our lives and give thanks to the Lord for the transition and transformation that takes place in us. The final thing is the glory to God. Verse 8, this is the goal for all that we do, that it is for my Father's glory that we do this. And as we remain in Him, we are doing it to the glory of God. And as we remain in Him, we will bear much fruit. Much fruit. This doesn't tell us what kind of fruit. It doesn't tell us that we are consciously making fruit and bearing fruit, but simply by remaining in Him, we are bearing fruit. And that fruit is the fruit of the gospel. Just take a look. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, and see the fruit that you can bear. Not that you do it, but just remain in Him, and you will bear fruit, and you will flourish to the glory of God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the invitation to remain in you. Help us to do that. And as we do that, nourish us so that we may flourish. Even as we receive the cuts of pruning in our lives, help us to flourish, that as we remain in you, the fruit will show itself in our lives, and that it may bring glory to your name in how we live and in how we are a part of our community and how we serve you in all that we say and do. Lord, we know that we can't design what kind of fruit we bear, but it is the fruit that you give us. The fruit that uses the gifts you have created within us. Some fruits that are completely visible and some that are quiet and in the background, but all which give glory to your name. And so help us to remain and help us to flourish and to bear that fruit. In Christ we pray. Amen.